One time for our weekly trip down the turnpike to Boston and connect with our friend Kyle Draper of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Drapes, what's going on this afternoon?
Rich, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Well, I got to get right to the point here and ask you, you believe that it makes more sense, you're dashing our Celtics dreams, you think it makes more financial sense for Kevin Durant to stay in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, no doubt about it. First of all, OKC can offer him more money than anybody. And if he did want to sign that long-term contract, the Thunder can offer him a fifth year where every other team can offer a fourth year. Also, I think when you look at a Robin to KD's Batman, is there any better Robin in the NBA than Russell Westbrook? I mean, think about it. I could see Kevin Durant signing a two-year deal, opting out after the first year, and then him and Westbrook decide to part ways. Westbrook's a free agent next season. And so all this talk about the Celtics and all this, ultimately I think what's going to happen is he's going to stay in OKC.
I don't know about Robin, Drapes, but I think Nightwing is also available out there. Isn't Scal talking something about Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, but that's Scal, you know, selling to a bridge out in Brooklyn somewhere. You know, I mean, I just don't think that the Chicago Bulls are ready to move on from Jimmy Butler. Think about it. If they do trade Jimmy Butler, it would be really a total reset on everything they have going. If I'm the Bulls, instead of trading Butler, why don't you try to add some pieces around Jimmy Butler? Think about it. The Eastern Conference, you make one or two quick moves, you're right back up in there, 50-win season, right up there with Cleveland. And so if I'm the Bulls, I'm not going for a total reset. And so this Jimmy Butler talk, I mean, I think that's Scal really hyping it up. I don't think it'll happen. Now, DeMarcus Cousins, maybe, just maybe, Sacramento is getting tired of him. But ultimately, what I think what happens with him, they'll see how it goes the first part of the season. And then maybe at the trade deadline, get serious about trading Cousins. I don't think they'll trade him now with a new coach coming in. I think they'll give him one more shot with a new coach to see how it goes.
Drapes, we know that we can't count ping pong balls before they're hatched. But numerically speaking, the numbers favor the Celtics picking in the number three spot. Other than the top two guys who are the obvious number two, what do you do with that pick?
Well, obviously, you look at trade, and of course, you do call Chicago just to see who's out there, just to see if you can get Jimmy Butler. You call Sacramento. You even call Houston. James Harden, believe it or not. I think James Harden, there's some warts to his game. There's some warts to, you know, him being a teammate. And so I think maybe you try to, you know, entice Houston with an offer for James Harden. With that being said, if you do decide to keep that pick, there are a number of guys out there. Everybody's talking about Dragan Bender, the overseas guy who reminds people a lot of Porzingis. I like him. I don't know if he's strong enough, but I even like Buddy Hield, too. I'm a big Buddy Hield guy from Oklahoma. I think he could come in and play immediately. And so if you're Danny Ainge, while you want to get a Durant or a superstar, somebody like that, you're also in a good position where you're just not going to trade that number three pick for just anybody. And so even if you do make that number three pick, I think you'll get a very, very good player. And so you can afford to do that.
Well, and the other thing, too, well, they made great progress this season, but the future of the Celtics doesn't hinge necessarily on what they do this offseason either, because they've still got a ton of great draft picks in the years ahead.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, everybody talked about this season, and how many of the players on this season's roster will really be in Boston when it's time to really contend for banner number 18. That's why I think, you know, whatever happened this season was a bonus, was gravy as far as I'm concerned. You're right. Next year, you could swap with Brooklyn. Brooklyn figures to be another bad team again next season. 2 years from now, you get their number one pick, and you get a Memphis pick, I think it is, in a few years. And so you're still loaded. I mean, it's not, you know, swing for the fences, you know, bottom of the ninth, two outs, you got to get a home run right now. I think that's why if you're Danny Ainge, you don't mortgage your future unless it's for a known commodity. You don't trade everything for a guy like Al Horford. I like Al Horford, but he's, what, 30 years old? He'll be 30, I think. And so I don't know if he's that generational guy that would really put the Celtics over the top. And so I'd be happy if they stood pat, made a great draft. The key, though, guys, they have to get the draft right. If you're going to stand pat, you have to get it right.
We're talking with Kyle Draper, Comcast Sportsnet New England. Well, speaking of swinging for the fences, Pablo Sandoval will not be doing that for the rest of this year with the shoulder reconstruction surgery. Now, it's a lot of money sitting on the bench and the disabled list, but in many ways, is this the best thing that could happen for Sandoval given the way things started this year?
Yeah, I think about it. I mean, was he really going to play I mean, unless Travis went down with an injury or something like that. But ultimately, if you're Pablo Sandoval, this is a lost year. You go out, you get rehab, you come back stronger next offseason, next spring training. You hope, if you're a Red Sox fan, that Sandoval gets his weight in shape, gets his conditioning in shape, and he comes back and is the guy we saw, you know, from time to time out in San Francisco. With that being said, that is a lot of money. That is a lot of money out there, and the problem is nobody wants him now. You can't trade that contract now, especially with the guy, you know, undergoing shoulder surgery, and so it kind of hamstrings the Red Sox and what they could do with Pablo moving forward.
Kyle, are you doing anything special tonight to get ready for another Clay Buchholz start, like closing your hand in a car door or losing your cell phone or anything like that?
Putting some toothpicks in my eyelids or something
walking
like
on,
that.
Walking on Legos, yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, here's the thing. I got to work tonight, and I have to do Chevrolet Sportsnet Central, and I'm just hoping Clay doesn't give up 8 runs and this game lasts 4 hours. You know, in an ideal world, Clay would work quickly out here and you know, have a quality start. But I know that's asking a lot. But you got to wonder, though, what's his future in the rotation? I mean, Stephen Wright is making a very good case to stay up here and remain a starter. What's going to happen when Eduardo comes back? And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with this Red Sox rotation.
No doubt about that. All right, so we need to tune in a little later tonight then.
Yeah, 10:30. Make sure your viewers up there stick around and hang out. I'll be with the one and only Trenny tonight at 10:30. We'll be talking. Danny Ainge spoke today, so we'll talk some Celtics, also some Red Sox, and obviously Patriots. We talk about that every day, it seems like.
Drapes, when you're on, it's must-see TV for all of us here.
All right. And I got the pocket square tonight. It's the off season, so usually I save it for the games, but there's no more games for me, so I'm bringing the pocket square during an off day, too.
Roll the DVR tonight. Kyle, thanks as always. We'll see you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one.